Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and now it's time to take a trip into the WNYC archives with the station's chief archivist, Andy Lancet.
This is the Municipal Broadcasting System. New York City's own station, WNYC, in the city where more than 7 million people live in peace and enjoy the benefits of democracy.
For this week's Andy in the Archives segment, we're honoring the 71st anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was ratified on December 10th, 1948. Andy's found some incredible archival audio of Eleanor Roosevelt, who was the leading advocate for the creation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Take it away, Andy.
That's right, Allison. Eleanor Roosevelt was the First Lady of the United States from 1933 into 1945 and was later chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights, the body charged with drafting the UDHR, that is, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Here she is in 1948, the day before the declaration was adopted by the UN General Assembly.
We stand today at the threshold of a great event, both in the life of the United Nations and in the life of mankind. This Universal Declaration of Human Rights may well become the international Magna Carta of all men everywhere. We hope its proclamation by the General Assembly will be an event comparable to the proclamation of the Declaration of the Rights of Man by the French people in 1789. The adoption of the Bill of Rights by the people of the United States, and the adoption of comparable declarations at different times in other countries. At a time when there are so many issues on which we find it difficult to reach a common basis of agreement, this must be taken as testimony of our common aspiration, first voiced in the Charter of the United Nations, to lift men everywhere to a higher standard of life and to a greater enjoyment of freedom. Man's desire for peace lies behind this declaration. The realization that the flagrant violation of human rights by Nazi and fascist countries sowed the seeds of the last world war has supplied the impetus for the work which brings us to the moment of achievement here today.
After World War II, it was decided that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was necessary to ensure that the horrors of that war would never be repeated. Among the rights listed in the Declaration, which has some 30 articles, are calls for prohibitions against slavery, discrimination, arbitrary arrest, detention, and exile, and calls for freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. The right to rest and leisure, reasonable working hours, a right to education, equal protection under the laws, and other rights. Again, Eleanor Roosevelt in 1948 explaining the goals of the UN Declaration.
This declaration is based upon the spiritual fact that man must have freedom in which to develop his full stature and through common effort to raise the level of human dignity. We have much to do to fully achieve and to assure the rights set forth in this declaration.
In a 1956 appearance at the Foreign Press Association, broadcast by WNYC, Mrs. Roosevelt reflected on the writing of the Declaration and on America's failure at the time to ratify the International Convention Against Genocide adopted by the UN General Assembly on December 9, 1948, the day before the adoption of the Human Rights Declaration.
We argued over the meaning of words for hours, but it was very, very important. Now, of course, that they've come to trying to write legally binding documents, I'm afraid they've not been as successful as one might have hoped. It perhaps is partly the United States' fault, because we, on account of some conditions at home, said we would not present the human rights covenants for ratification. And I've always felt a sense of guilt because of that.
Almost four decades after its creation, the U.S. ratified the Genocide Convention and the civil and political rights as outlined in the Human Rights Declaration, but not the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, something Eleanor Roosevelt argued must be advanced here and around the world.
You and I in the United States feel that political and civil liberties and rights are the most important, because it is through having those that we have won our economic and social rights. But there are many countries in the world that have, for large numbers of their people, not many civil and political rights. And they are at a point economically where the thing that looms the most important to them is to be able to eat, the right to eat, and the means by which you attain that right. Now, there are many means, but that's why the fight has been so great to have these economic and social rights, no matter how new they are, no matter how hard they are to write in legal form, and they're terribly difficult to make, to write into legal form. But still, great many people have felt that they shouldn't be separated from the others, because perhaps you'd get one and wouldn't get the others.
Eleanor Roosevelt speaking in New York in 1952. That's it from me for this week. I'll be back next week with more audio clips from the New York Public Radio archives. In the meantime, the NYPR History Notes newsletter will get delivered to your email box every Friday if you subscribe to it by going to wnyc.org/newsletters. And to hear more past programs, click on the archived shows link at the bottom of the wnyc.org homepage. Thanks to the New York City Municipal Archives for their assistance, and to all of its producers. I bid you a good day.